Today's program is brought to you by Neil's Yard Dairy, selecting, maturing, and selling farmhouse cheese from the UK and Ireland. For more information, visit neilsyarddairy.co.uk.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Cutting the Curd, broadcasting live on the Heritage Radio Network. This is Greg Blaze. I'm back from an amazing trip to the 20th anniversary of Slow Foods Cheese Festival in Bra. We did a show last week compiling some interviews that I did while I was there. This is going to be a continuation of that, the second installment. For those of you who haven't heard about Bra before, basically it's what heaven must look like to any cheese lover. The entire city of Bra, a picturesque town in Piedmont, very close to Alba of truffle fame and Barolo of wine fame, turns into a maze of cheese vendors from countries around the world. For this second round of interviews, I chatted with my friend Giorgio Cravero of Cravero Cheese and one of the first guys to do the festival in 97, and also my good friend Betty Koster, who has a wonderful cheese shops in Holland and is also a veteran exhibitor of the festival. I really hope you enjoy these as much as I enjoyed doing them. Thanks a lot and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to a remote edition of Cutting the Curd. I'm here in Giorgio Cravero's home, and one of the best places on earth that I've ever been. It's a fantastic place where cheese is matured and his family lives, and I'm lucky enough to be able to come here to Bra to the semi-annual festival. I've been here several times, and one of my stops that I would never miss is coming here to learn and to eat cheese, taste Parmigiano and other cheeses with Giorgio. So, Giorgio, thank you so much for having me tonight and for doing what you do.
My pleasure.
This is an amazing time for people who do what we do. Bra, the festival, the Cheese Festival of Bra, is this iconic, wonderful event that it's an odyssey to get to, and it always lives up to its hype. Never fails, never once, and I've been here several times. And Giorgio has been here since the very beginning, one of the first exhibitors. It's his town, he lives here, so it makes sense that he would be a part of it from the very beginning. So I was wondering if you could give us a little insight into the roots of the Bra Cheese Festival and how you came to be a part of it and are still a part of it now.
My friend.
Yes.
The very, very first edition of cheese was organized by Slow Food in 97,
yeah.
20 years ago. So, because in general, they are, and they will be brave people. In 97, they decided to organize this kind of experimental show.
Sure.
In Bra, where Slow Food was born in 1985. So they are fantastic people because they decided to do things randomly. They take the decision, we do something good or not, whatever, and they think about the consequences afterwards. So in 97, I was invited by Slow Food.
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was just graduating from college in 97. But I never, that my education has all really been in cheese. So they gave you a call in, at that time. This is hand signals. I got to talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah. So they invited me a week in advance.
That's a lot of time to prepare.
I received a call on Thursday.
Yeah.
From a Slow Food employee, Marcello.
Uh-huh.
He's still one of the...
I knew all that their old employer. generation of guys like Piero and
Marcello was one of them, one of the founders,
the original cadre.
Correct. So Marcello gave me a call on Thursday.
Yeah.
And he said, Giorgio, on next Saturday we are going to organize this show.
Yeah.
This tea show in town, and would you like to attend? I told Marcello, yes, why not?
What the hell, you know?
Yeah.
It's in your town. Like
Yes. But it was a week in advance.
Yeah, that's... So, and you probably had no idea of what to expect, really, from it, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Okay, we decided to attend.
Sure.
To attend Cheese in 97 meant to be there with a table...
Yeah.
With maybe 5-6 cheeses on it, and try to figure out what's going
to happen.
What's going
to happen on your day? Because you worried maybe for a second, you're like, is anybody going to come to the, like, you know, it's, Braz is, I get here, and it's easy for me to get here, but it's not like it's in the, outside of the Milan airport, you know? It's,
yes.
You know?
Yes, definitely, you know, definitely.
So you're probably like, who's coming, right?
Yes. So, something funny is also that, to let you understand what I was expecting about cheese was absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Because 2 months earlier, I bought tickets for U2 concert in Reggio Emilia.
Sure.
So, I prepared the table.
Yeah.
The show lasted Saturday afternoon and Sunday, all day, a day and a half.
Yeah.
So I set the table around lunchtime, and then I drove to Reggio Emilia for the for the U2 concert.
Well, that's U2. Well,
yeah, it was much more important than cheese.
Yeah, 97,
at that time.
They were rocking that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
So back at night, it was Sunday. Attending the show, we were 15 exhibitors.
Okay,
a square.
Sure, in Piazza Roma?
In Piazza Roma.
Sure.
No, in Piazza 20 Settembre, somewhere else.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Sure.
Right away.
Did they come like gangbusters?
Incredibly successful.
That's amazing.
Thousands of people came to Bra, sunny day for cheese.
Yeah.
So, fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We scored some record.
Yeah.
Because in a day and a half.
Sure.
We sold 36 cheeses of Parmigiano Reggiano cut in pieces.
Like how big, like 200 gram pieces, like 100, exactly. 36 wheels.
36 wheels, in a day and a half.
A day and a half.
Incredible.
Wow, how many people were working the stand with you?
Two.
Including you, the two other people. You and two others. And then you bailed out on them in the initial day. You
were like, myself plus a cutter.
Yeah.
The cutter on Monday morning goes straight to the hospital.
Oh my God.
Because
his wrist?
Yeah, was broken.
Broken
using the knife, cutting the cheese. Then we
brought... There used to be like a little statue of that man, or like a plaque to that man, you know, like a golden wrist or like something like that.
Yeah. We brought 5-6 cheeses every 2 hours.
Yeah. Bang.
Lock a car, 6 cheeses. It was like gambling, you know.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And also for the other 14, we were 15, 20 exhibitors.
Yeah.
Was...
The same.
Yeah. Very
like you
successful.
Probably couldn't even talk to them. Like at the end of
No.
You were like...
No time.
Yeah, you just look over and you're like, are they busy? And they're just swamped.
Correct.
And now it's this... it's got...
So this was 97.
Yeah.
In 2 years later, 99, it started to be...
A little more popular.
People
knew of the first one, right? So they were coming back to this.
Yes.
Told a whole bunch of friends.
Oh, 2 years later.
Yeah.
2 years later lasted Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Wow.
Heavy rain for 3 days. Crazy. But...
did that deter people?
More or less
better organized in terms of we were maybe 50 exhibitors.
Right, you could spread it out a little.
Yeah.
You didn't have to work
some
like that.
Pioneers from abroad.
Oh yeah, cool.
Already were in town.
Who?
Some Irish.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And that's before like social media really and
absolutely.
The internet. We're just
why
proud.
The Irish? No idea.
And they're like, we're here.
Yeah. on Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Cool.
On Sunday morning, sold out. Their booth empty, and they were in town, and they say, "What are we? In which way we are spending the weekend?" They go to Venice.
Wow.
To
hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
And spend their winnings.
Exactly. To
gamble.
Venice.
Yeah,
to Venice.
Sure.
Then the next edition, the third,
yeah.
was the very best.
That was the
2001.
Peak. Like the golden
yeah.
time, right? Where you
2001, we yeah. were flooded. By foreign visitors.
Yeah.
I remember perfectly you guys, Greg, the
yeah.
Americans,
yeah.
a good bunch of people from
well,
the
yeah,
US.
It was out there then amongst Americans. I remember I had a choice and I was invited to go to the Fromaggi di Atore in
2001
in St. Vincent, the first awards. I was one of the American judge. That's how I met all those old school slow food guys, and I had a choice, and I was like, well, this sounds like a party, but I wanted to be a judge. I was like, I wanted to hang out. But I mean, when you say that, I'm like, well, it doesn't matter, they were both amazing experiences. But I remember that it was out there, word of mouth had reached
yes
my community.
Look at that. Yeah, yeah. Word of mouth
it's
still important nowadays.
It is, and it's the same. When I feel like it's the same people that in 2001 that I talk to now, you know. But they were just like, "We're doing this thing," and I was like, "Oh, I'd love to be there." And DeLuca was like, "Yeah, that's not gonna. You're not because it was different time. You know, you couldn't just take trips all the time. Like,
and you come back every 2 years since then. Always. Maybe you missed that one edition.
No, I mean, I came. I think in 2009. Was my first,
right?
But I mean, I had been traveling to Europe for cheap. Like, I mean, that's the holy grail for Americans. So I'm sure once Americans started coming, they saw the magic of the festival.
Sure,
yeah.
And then also something very emotional was that the dates of 2001,
yeah,
were
right in September 11th.
Exactly,
I know.
Less than a week. Later,
I
yeah, yeah.
I remember
so
that
the Americans came, many of them with flags,
sure,
with you know lots of emotion, sadness in spirit, but they attended Cheese in 2001,
and that helped them out.
Nowadays it's 2007. It's 20 years anniversary. We are 200 exhibitors.
Yeah.
150,000 people are flooding my hometown.
Yeah.
And it's the best cheese show on earth, for sure.
It is. You helped to make it that way. And it's amazing. I noticed that I wanted to talk to you guys, and that's an amazing story. I would have gone to see you too. I would have been like, I am out of here. I'm not going to work the country fair. I've got to go to see this rock concert. But as soon as you knew, it was, you know, I'm sure you were like, oh, this is the thing. Like, because you can just tell. You know a good idea. You can see, like, things like that that are hyper-successful. You know right away. People, like, they come and they don't stop coming. It's not like...
No, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. And also, every year there are some newcomers.
Sure.
And they arrive to Bra, spread around... Book for 2019.
Yeah, I
all
had to get
of
my
that.
Room.
All of that.
I missed the 2015, and so I think immediately in November I called Jason and I was like, I feel like a drug addict. I need to go back to Bra. And he's like, don't worry, I'll get you a room. I was like, okay, just want to make sure. And that was like, I thought if I didn't call, like more than a couple months, that room would be gone.
Yeah,
you know, especially where. The old school. I mean, you guys know where to stay, and you're from here. It's amazing. And I wanted to ask you. You said 2001 was the best. I remember the most.
The best.
Populated.
Was the
let's
beginning.
The golden age.
Yeah, yeah.
The golden age.
Yeah.
So that set aside because that's
yes.
like the first girl you fall in love
with.
The
turn.
Yeah.
Was 2001. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like the when you
since
put your
then,
heart open to it.
Every
yeah.
year is better than
the time amazing. Before. Yeah.
And you made I think it's a couple of things I want to ask you, and I know you're tired, but
no,
I so
I'm
appreciate
fine.
Your
I'm
time.
Fine, right. I'm fine.
And what I noticed is a change, obviously, in the criteria of BRA. I remember when I was here in 2013. And it's crazy, if you miss this festival once, you got 4 years, man, without mm-hmm. this place. That is too long without that. I mean, you can always come visit.
I agree. It's
And I'd love to come back, you know, but you understand what I mean. They just, it was packed, and there was a different kind of a vendor. There was a different, it seemed a tiny bit different to me, and it was so many people. And I was like, well, how are they going to deal with that? And I don't stand in judgment of that. I don't think I have a right to be here and others. You know what I mean? It's great for anybody to be here, but it gets packed to capacity. And then I was like, what's going to happen here? And when word got to me that the decision had been made to have only raw milk producers, I thought that was brilliant. And I was wondering if you thought that had a positive effect on the festival in so far, or is it just the same, you know?
So, look, Greg, two things. Mm. First of all, it's 2017. So it's as we said, it's the 20th anniversary, which is already something remarkable.
Amazing.
To celebrate the 20th year, we spoke about slow food as brave.
Very brave.
Positive.
Brave.
Organization, right? So, in my opinion, no one else than them would be enough brave.
I agree.
To decide to celebrate the 20th year with a festival based on raw milk. Because also they love to say that thinking about the first time, 97, thinking about in 20 years' time, will we be able to organize a raw milk specialized festival? Probably they would say,
hell no.
That would be a dream.
Oh,
and
I'm
the
sorry.
Dream comes true in 2017.
Sure.
You get it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it would be a dream, though. I mean, to think about that then, you would just be like, wow. Like,
yeah,
that's
probably
a,
not.
Yeah.
They made it.
That's amazing. And I love it for so many reasons. So many reasons. But the main one is that people live in fear. They live in fear. Fear is mongered over them. Food. People are taught to be afraid of their food. And raw milk cheese has been in the crosshairs. This is our life. This is what we do. And people are like, oh, don't upset the government. Don't do this. Now, fuck that. Just go do what you do. That's what you got to do. Just keep doing what you do well. And
yes.
and the consequences be, you know, you aren't reckless. There's a difference between being reckless and foolish. And standing up for what you believe in. Because if you don't do that, people just keep taking away shit from you.
Yes.
That's the world you live in, man, you know? And it's awesome that you can make it, people can make a stand like that and be a part of it. I'm sure you're very proud of that.
Absolutely. Very, very much. Very much.
Yeah. And,
very much.
And it's amazing. I work for an Italian company and I know so much more about Italy and about all the regions and the people involved. And it's perfect. Nowhere else but here, in this place, would that fly, you know? Nowhere. And I've been around. I've seen no one that have the balls to do that.
Then also, I presume, I'm pretty sure that things are not going to change in 2019.
No. Hell no.
So the celebration of the 20th was the... maybe an excuse, you know?
Yeah,
to mark the territory.
It's perfect, the line
you get it. It will be raw milk forever.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. I'm gonna end on that note, and I really hope that 20 years from now, you and I are here. There'll be more pictures on the wall behind you.
For sure,
more
right?
Caberos, and we'll talk about
no
the
doubts
next
about it.
20 years.
No
so
doubts about it.
Thank you, Giorgio Cravero.
Thanks very much for having me. Thanks
and,
a lot indeed.
I hope you guys stay tuned and listen to more little BRA retrospectives. Ciao.
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 Today's program is brought to you by Neil's Yard Dairy. Neil's Yard Dairy selects, matures, and sells farmhouse cheese from the UK and Ireland. They work with about 40 cheesemakers, they visit them regularly to taste their cheese, and select the batches they want to mature and sell. Amongst the cheeses they select, there is a great deal of variability. Cheese can change hugely depending on how it's treated. They have a range of temperature and humidity-controlled maturation facilities at their warehouse in London, run by a team who are dedicated to ensuring that they sell their cheese at its best. As the cheese is maturing, they continue to taste through the stock to ensure they're aware of how it is developing over time. When the cheese is ready, their attention turns to directing the right cheese into the hands of the right customer. They have three cheese shops in London, an online shop, and they're a regular sight at markets around the country, and have a UK and international wholesale trade. For more information, visit neilsyarddairy.co.uk.
Hello, this is Greg Blaze, and I'm recording this from a giant vault of Parmigiano in Bra, Italy, here in the Bra Cheese Festival. It's one of the best places to be if you're a cheesemonger and just a human being who enjoys life in general.
Or cheese.
Yeah. And I'm here with a good friend of mine who I've been trying to be able to talk to for a while, but either I've been in jail or the hospital or whatever, you know, and it just hasn't happened. So I'm really glad to be able to talk to Betty Koster, the owner of La Muse in Holland, and a good friend of mine and a Bra veteran. So yeah. Thanks so much. You're having it's a good time, right?
I mean, lovely again.
Yeah.
It's so great.
It really is.
It's a gathering, it's a family gathering in cheese.
Yeah.
Everyone who means something in cheese wants to go to Bra.
Yeah.
And when you come here, and this is the party at Giorgio's at Saturday night, which is extremely known, there are 150 people tonight, and we all know each other or get to know each other tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's an interesting... I've been several times, and yeah. I've seen it, I think... sort of wax and yeah. wane in a certain way that I think was healthy. Well, the last time I was here was 2013,
mm-hmm.
and it was just an enormous amount of people in the streets. I couldn't get down some streets, and it's not a complaint, but I was just like, wow, this is a tiny town. Like, this is like Woodstock.
It's
like,
not, is it? It's a big town, but it's but everyone comes. It's 275,000 people coming in 4 days.
That's incredible.
So tomorrow it's going to be the same as in 2013.
Yeah.
So I want to warn you.
No, I know, I know. It's just I wasn't prepared for it. It geared up. I mean, how many have you been here since the beginning?
I think this is our eighth. We were counting, so it's been 16 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What's the and what was it like? What was your first Bra?
Oh, my first Bra was a
not your first
complete
Bra,
surprise.
But, you know.
I did not know what to expect.
Right.
So Martin and me came here with a car loaded with cheese.
Yeah.
The festival was from 8 in the morning until 11 at night.
Yeah.
And then this tsunami of people came by, and we were just sampling and cutting cheese. We did not have time to eat, drink, go to the loo, whatever. If one would go to the loo, which was at the market upstairs in the village, you had to run like 1 kilometer
wow.
to go to the loo and back again. So you would just hold it as long
sure.
as possible.
I've been there. Outdoor markets it's no joke, right?
No, it's no joke. It was no joke. We were completely satisfied but exhausted
right.
after 4 days. And I remember going back by plane. We went to Torino. And we are supposed to be 2 or 3 hours in advance at the airport, as we're used to in Holland. And we were there at 7 in the morning, and there was no one there, and the airport was closed. Torino, it's a big city.
It is.
And then a man came with a key.
Okay.
And he opened the door with the key.
Sure.
Looked at us as if we were crazy. Then pushed all the buttons to put on the lights at the airport. It felt like...
You're out of your mind.
No, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And if you look at it now, it turned out to be the festival of the world.
Of course. I mean, it must feel... well, when you're a part of it and you're doing it and you've done it, I know that I've tried to be... To longevity in something is good.
Yeah.
And I think that it's tough sometimes to just get perspective on it. But you must be so amazed when you think back of those earlier times.
Oh, but it's grown to be so international.
Right.
So at that period, it was a lot of beautiful Italian cheeses we got to know and producers we got to know. But now it's Kenya.
I love that.
Yeah, it's Australia being here. It's Japan presenting their cheeses.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
That was something, and I asked Carlo and Davide about that, is that you... I learned so much from coming here about that the thing that we do just runs through every culture.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's simple. It's been being done forever. And it's the exchange of ideas between the people, especially from other nations.
Yes.
I think it's one of the, for me when I first came, was one of the most startling and amazing things was to talk to people. I talked to a cheesemaker, I think, from Cameroon in like 2011, and another gentleman who made cheese in Israel. And I was a man, you know, I knew Europe and America.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's who makes cheese of any note. And I was just so fucked up with that. I was not right.
No.
Right? Would you agree that when the younger people come, that's a good thing for them to see?
Of course. It's a good... And the mixture of the old knowledge...
Right.
...and the new inspirement of people to make new things.
Right.
Combine that and you get the most beautiful things. So it's very important for the youngsters to see this, learn from it, and use the knowledge from the old people. Because... It's going to waste.
It is.
Because we're so technical.
Children have different... I know that I would say children. I always feel like a kid, no matter how old I am. But they have different ideas of what is worthwhile. Yeah. And I don't think that's bad or good. No. I just think the world changes and we adapt and things recede. But there are certain important things that should never be lost. And working with food is one of those. And changing the food system, being aware of it, it's something that... You have to maintain, and this event for younger people is great. I noticed also, and I don't know if this is true, and I'm just seeing the Americans, but I see more younger Americans.
Absolutely.
Than people like, I see your family here, and I see Georgia.
Yeah.
I see that, but in general, I run into a lot of European cheesemakers who've made. Their children might have different goals, right?
Yeah, that's true. Because they learn to be economical. They learn... Right. I say there's this range of people who go to university, come back as
there
an
is.
Economist.
Yes.
And then want to be a farmer.
And they apply that knowledge. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. So that's about money. And then there's this passionate part of the cheese-producing people, and that's about passion for cheese. And if you could combine those two, being economical and passionate about your job, then we have the right mixture.
Well, you're saved. There's one of my favorite books is about the duality of man. It's called Narcissus and Goldman, and it's written by Hermann Hesse, and Narcissus stays in the monastery, and Goldman goes out into the world. He eventually comes back to the monastery with his worldly knowledge, but they both learn that without one, you can't have the other. And I think that in a progressive world, those people have to go away. But some of them do come back to the traditions and the family. They think when you're a kid, you can become a punk, you know, and you're like, well, my folks, I don't want to be like my fucking folks.
That's what we all say. Right. I don't do it like my
mom. Hell no. But then you get smart enough to realize, like, I got to go back to these people right away.
But she did well anyway, so why not?
Yeah.
I love that.
That's brilliant. And I wanted to say, I asked Carlo and the folks about this. I thought it was interesting. I spoke to many people who helped to make the decision to only have raw milk cheese producers.
Exciting.
Here. And you like that.
I love it. I love it. And I had, I call it the cheese police. I had the slow food police checking on me.
Yeah.
Because we have a huge stall, but in the Netherlands we do make a lot of raw milk cheese and even raw milk butter.
Yeah.
They didn't believe me.
They wanted to
check the labels. They wanted to taste it. And they were convinced. And I said, well, I don't mind you doing this because you make a statement.
Sure.
You got to stick to it.
Yeah.
And for the future of Bra, it's important to stand up for that group of people who are really making an effort of making a raw milk cheese with all the risks
right
to it. That is the group we need to protect.
Sure. And I think it's amazing that Slow Food Italy would be the only group that has the balls. Like, people are so
right.
afraid of the government.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we got to be safer. We can't do this. And they're like, yeah, fuck that.
Money
buys
everything.
We're going to do only raw milk cheese in our biggest festival.
Right.
And if you don't make it, you can't come.
Perfect.
But it's not like they don't want you. It's just like, well, just start making raw milk cheese
yeah.
and you can come anytime.
Yeah, come on. Push them.
Which I found to be inspirational and something that I can believe in. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much
You're
for
welcome.
Your time. This is a great spot to talk about cheese.
Oh,
it just smells like Parmigiana.
Smellier, right?
And I'll definitely come to see you and get a longer interview. And hopefully we'll be here 10 years or no, 20 years
yes,
for 20th anniversary of this festival as well.
Yeah, me too.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food Radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.